our regulars here. Y'all turning into the regular congregation. It doesn't matter how big we are, how small we are. I think we all have come together with the same thing in mind, and that is to praise and honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're thankful for what they have done for us, and that's why we're here. We want to worship His grand and glorious name and thank Him for the blessings He's given us. You know, that song we just sang, I love the words to it. We're going to read back through them. You know how I am. I'm a song man. I love the songs that have been written. And this was written by Isaac Watts. He's written a lot of our hymns in our books. Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship thee. You know, it's not delightful to see a whole assembly gathered together. You can go down to the basketball game and see a whole assembly gathered together. But here you see a whole assembly that's come together to worship thee. That is delightful. That is wonderful. It's a blessing to me to see the Lord's people come together in order to worship His name. At once they sing, at once they pray. They hear of heaven and learn the way. That's what we do. We sing, we pray, we have preaching, and we love each other. I have been there and still would go. 'Tis like a little heaven below. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's like a little heaven below. Where else can you go to feel, be among people, the calmness and the love that's in this building? Not all that hell or sin can say shall tempt me to forget this day. That's a good statement. Shouldn't be anything that the world can say or hell can say that'll keep you from coming to praise the Lord. Oh, write upon my memory, Lord, the text and doctrine of thy word, that I may break thy laws no more, but love thee better than before. You know, I believe Jeremiah told us that the Lord is going to write his laws on our hearts and in our minds so we can recall them. And the songwriters do this. Write upon my memory the text and doctrine of thy word, that I may break thy laws no more, but love thee better than before. And I love the fourth verse. With thoughts of Christ and things divine, fill up this foolish heart of mine. Amen. I'm guilty. I have a foolish heart. My mind goes in different wonders, different places, things of the world. But he's asking, and I ask too, with thoughts of Christ and things divine, fill up my heart that I'm thinking only of Christ and things divine, that hoping pardon through his blood I may lay down and wake with God. What a wonderful thing to think about, that we are going to lay down one day. We are going to give up our breath if the Lord doesn't come back before then. But we're going to lay down. The next thing we're going to know, we're going to wake and be with our Savior. In 1 John 5, I want to just look at this real quick. I have several different things on my mind, but I came across that. 1 John 5, first verse. Pretty simple statement is written down here for our learning and for our edification. Pretty plain. I don't see how the world can get this wrong. They read it backwards. They do something to distort it. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, that's not saying if you want to be born of God, all you got to do is believe. It's not saying that. It's saying that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're already born of God. Wait a minute. That leaves man out. There's not something I can do myself and my fleshly carnal nature that will make the Lord look at me and love me and I can save myself. And what is it they got? They say all the time, this prayer that they pray. I ask the Lord to come into my heart. What? How arrogant is that? I want to ask the Lord, Lord, I'm praying to you, and here's what I want you to do. Because I'm praying this prayer, you have the obligation to come into my heart. How arrogant is that, brethren? I don't know if they listen to themselves talking. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Of God. Who did the borning? God did it. God did the borning. I try to study that little word of, and it just kind of blows my mind because it's got so many different definitions what's that thing called, a dictionary? I mean, pages, two or three pages about the word of. But I like saying expressing the relationship that I'm reading this out of the dictionary, I think the Oxford, expressioning the relationship between an author, artist, composer, and their work collectively. Yeah. If you're born of God, that's God's work collectively, and it's the Lord that's doing the work that is being created there. Now, what's being created? Being born of God, being born again. All right, let's go now. Speaking of Matthew 1:18, let's look at another use of that word, that little word of. First chapter of Matthew, the 18th verse, and it's talking about the birth of Christ was coming on, but I want to catch the use of the word of. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, there you go, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is who made her to be with child. It was the Holy Ghost that put into her what it was necessary for Jesus to be born. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Here she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The little word of is a little tricky word. Another definition is expressing a cause. He died of cancer. Well, he died of cancer. Cancer is what caused him to die. If you're born of God, God is the one that caused you to be born. Died of cancer, born of God. God is the reason that you were born again. I know I'm beating a dead horse. Y'all understand this, but it's been something bearing on my mind a lot here lately. Okay, that's good. We got those. Got that handled. I believe it's the book of Thessalonians. Yeah. Let's go to Thessalonians. I want to look at several things in the book of Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus are talking to these people. They're acknowledging the fact that this church, they're in God. They're in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Paul and Timothy, they were just praising them. We know that you have faith, you have been laboring in love, you have patience in our Lord Jesus Christ, you are coming together, you're honoring the Savior like you should, just like this little assembly here is coming together. It would be if I was to be gone for 6 months and write a letter back to y'all and said I would acknowledge the fact that y'all are founded in the truth, you are going about to do the Lord's business, you're a blessing to me. Second verse. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul is acknowledging the fact, I know, brethren, that you are in this situation, brethren beloved, because of your election of God. You would not be giving off of this love or doing the things that you're doing or worshiping the Lord like you are if you had not been elected by the Father. And if he elected you, he's going to mourn you again, you know. We don't know when it's going to be, but here these people are evidence that they have been born of their Father, born of the, again. And the Paul and the Timothy Silvanus said, we know you were elected of God. Fifth verse, 4. Because our gospel came not unto you in word only, it wasn't just words that we spake, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Paul's acknowledging that when he preached the word of God, that the Holy Ghost was among them with power, and they were receiving it with much assurance, and they were rejoicing in the fact that God is their Savior. Okay, I'm kind of jumping around this morning, but I had different things on my mind, and I want to go now to 1 Peter. Now Peter, back then, before was Paul and Timothy and Silvanus, but this is Peter now, his first epistle to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Let's just read, first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect. Peter is acknowledging the fact that they're the elect of God. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. According to the foreknowledge of God, before the foundation of the world, the Lord knew his people. Let's just back that up and over here in Romans, 8th chapter of Romans. The old Baptist preamble. 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You notice it says the called, not just called. For whom he did foreknow, he foreknew his people. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Took care of it. Every little jot and tittle, he did it. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody can. We might think that the world's against us, that a lot of things are happening and we're not making the money we want to, or we think the world's coming down on us. But, you know, those things are irrelevant to the Lord. We're his people. He's coming back to get us one day, and he's going to take us all. We're going to, when the trump sounds, we're all going to meet him up in the sky, and we're going to go and be forever be with the Lord. And he didn't say exactly where we're going to be, but he said, wherever the Lord's going to be, that's where we're going to be. And that's where I want to be, don't you? What we see in the scriptures, that's a place called heaven. 35th verse of the 8th chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as shatter. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. My eyes got ahead of my words there. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this is the next two verses are beautiful to me. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a wonderful statement. It's a beautiful thing to think that there's nothing that's going to be able to separate us from the love of our Savior. Nothing's going to be able to separate us from the love of God. I don't care what happens to us in this world, on this earth. The Lord is still our Savior. He still is holding us in his bosom, in his arms. I like telling people who've lost loved ones or at a funeral service or something, I love telling them, but just think about it. Your loved one is in the arms of Jesus. He's leaning on his breast and breathing his life out sweetly there. Jesus is our Savior. He has redeemed us. He is for us. He's not going to let anything happen to us. And he's going to take us home to be with him forever one day. What more do we have to say? What more can we say that would make us feel any better? There's no words that can be said that will beat that. That Christ is our salvation. He came to this earth. He took care of our sins. He bore our sins. Took them to the cross. Nailed them to the cross. Was persecuted. Crucified. Died upon the cross and was buried. Carried to the tomb and put in the tomb. But that wasn't the end of it, was it? 3 days and three nights, he arose. I don't know, if there was the ancestors to Billy Graham or the ancestors to these evangelists out there that happened to go over there, and they rolled that stone away, and they went in there with CPR, and they revived him. No, it was the power of our Lord and Savior that quickened him. The Holy Ghost is able to quicken us when we're dead in trespasses and sins. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the power of the three, the Trinity, made him arise. He arose and went back to be with our Savior, be with God, and promise that he'll come again. I want to be one of the ones standing around when that happens, when the dead come flying out of the grave. What more do we need to know that to comfort us in our minds and our anxiety on this world? We don't need to be distraught or worried about things. We believe and we know that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has got us. He's got that. He is going to take care of us. How do I know he's going to take care of us in particular? Because we believe that Jesus is the Christ, and we can't do that unless we are born of God. If you are not born of God, you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you're not born of God, you don't care about these things. He may come later, but we know these things are true because we love the Lord and we come to praise him. We know that because we believe that we're born of his Father, born of God. God did the work. Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are taking care of everything. All we need to do, what do we need to do? We need to be honoring and glorifying to them. Third chapter of the book of Colossians. Let's look here right quick and see what we need to be doing. Colossians, third chapter. It reads, if you then be risen with Christ, as I've been talking about, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you can't do that unless you're born of God. And if you be risen with Christ, you were risen with Christ when he was resurrected. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If brothers and sisters, if you believe all this stuff I'm talking about, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. That's hard to do. Set your affections on the things of the above, not on this things of this earth. You know, you may have a favorite country music singer. You need to put Christ above the way you feel for that. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Nobody can get to you. You're hid with Christ and you're inside of God. Can anybody get to you there? When Christ, fourth verse, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You're going to appear with him when he comes back. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And it goes through a lot of different sins. Don't do these things. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Hey, I said it. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedient. Into which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. There was a time that we lived and did those things. But now ye also put off all of these. Get rid of this. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, in the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, and because of this, as the elect of God, we talked about the election of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, that's some tough things to maintain. Back and look at it. Holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forgiving one another. If you got a quarrel with anyone, forgive them. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Read that 17th verse again. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do, brethren, sisters, give thanks to God. Thank him as you go about doing your business and everything that you do, keeping the Lord and Savior in mind, praising him, glorifying him, living your life in the manner that would be pleasing to him. You got a lot of work to do. If you're going to do that, it's not a simple thing. But we can do it because we're given the power. We've born of God. We have the power of the Holy Ghost within us. So we can do that. We just got to step up and do it. Just be that person. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.